And welcome to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
And welcome into Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. Nick Ragner here with you, joined by Jesse Von Ruden, who is now to my left, opposed to being to my right.
Yeah, I know. It's a little different this week.
This is weird. Now I got to turn.
Yeah, no AC Riley this
week. AC Riley's gone. This actually might be the first Grapple Talk episode in which AC Riley's not here. I'm not even sure.
Maybe. I don't know. It's a good question.
There
maybe
was a couple in the beginning, like the first 10 we had, where he would like show up super late to the radio station. So like that happened a couple of times.
So how you show up late to your own show?
That's a good question. I tried. I couldn't figure it out.
It's
I'd
like,
ask him.
It's like almost like showing up late to your own funeral. I mean,
I'd be sitting there doing the show. Hey, Grapple, you know, like the first ever, like fifth episode of Grapple Talk. Hey, Grapple Talk, where's AC at? Nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
I think he was out fighting crime, to be honest.
Crime?
I think he's a
superhero. Did you get like text messages from him? Be like, hey, man, running late.
And
just
then
leaving now.
Location says Gotham on the phone.
So or like, when he comes in, he looks a little dazzled. And he's got like a shiner, too.
Yeah, that's weird, actually. That did happen. No, but he's not going to. He's got, he's catching up on some work that he has outside of the podcast. If people didn't know, he makes posters. Pretty good at making the posters, too.
Yeah, I know. He's the main proprietor of Pyramid Posters.
Yeah.
And he's been getting a lot of work lately, and his work has actually been getting a lot better.
Yeah, which is weird. I kind of find it weird that he doesn't usually plug himself on the Grapple Talk, but
which
I guess
is
we'll
weird
plug
because
for him.
He plugs himself everywhere else.
Yeah,
you know?
But I guess we'll plug for him. Pyramid Posters, head over to his Facebook page. I think when I last saw him, he was working on some of his stuff, so getting that done, trying to get caught up. So now it's just me and you, which is fine, because I think when we normally do these later podcasts, AC's falling asleep anyways because he's working.
Yeah, he's got a weird shift. Like, you and me have normal people hours. But, like, you and me, like, we work our tails off all day, you know, and AC just kind of like, you know, like, the way he describes his job, he's like, I'm not challenged. I just sit there. You would think he'd be, like, more awake, but apparently not.
Yeah, I guess not. But, you know, but I mean, that's why Gravel Talk's fun, because now we get to talk about wrestling, and there's quite a bit to talk about today. So much. I told Riley this earlier. In my opinion, we'll get to this in a little bit because I think we're going to talk about some local stuff first. But in my opinion, quite possibly the best 3-day span WWE has had in a long freaking time.
Yeah, that's saying a lot,
with
man.
The pay-per-view, Raw was really good. SmackDown was really good. I think one of the best 3-day spans they've had in quite a bit. I mean, Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, I don't know if you had a chance to catch.
Actually, I did, yeah. I actually watched it most of the time. Kind of like had it in the corner and kind of like watched through it, and then I caught the things I really wanted to catch. I thought it was a really well-done pay-per-view as it was. I know a lot of people are really going to be like praising just because Bray Wyatt won the title.
Exactly,
you know, like that seems to be the big takeaway. Everyone's really happy about that. What I was really happy was just the way they told the stories in all the matches, including the chamber match. Because he walked out of that match saying, wow, man, like Baron Corbin really stepped up his game.
Yeah.
The Miz was such a coward. That was great.
Yeah.
The Dean Ambrose stuff was good. AJ Styles continues to be like really that MVP of the SmackDown brand, and John Cena hasn't really lost a step at all.
Yeah, and the great thing about the chamber match too is that I know Miz got beat right away, but honestly, I mean, he had a good run for a little bit there where he was knocking every single dude out, and I would go on a limb and say that not a single guy in that match looked weak.
No,
that's
not
hard
at all
to do. I mean,
that
Baron
is very,
Corbin,
very hard to do.
Everybody came out of that match looking almost, I mean, Baron Corbin came out looking like $1 million. I mean, SmackDown has done such a great job pushing that guy to the moon. It's like you wish all the NXT guys would just go over to SmackDown aside from Apollo Crews.
It's not really
no matter
working
what
for
they
him
do, it's not working for
but,
him.
But, like, they put him in such a, man, I don't know, like, I don't know what they gave him for directions, Apollo Crews, when he came up. He's like, oh, man, you're just a babyface.
You're a babyface, man.
And Apollo
smile.
Crews is like, what does that mean, man? What does that mean now to be a babyface? Because, like, that was an impossible situation to do a 2-on-1 faces versus heel, like, fucking handicap match.
Yeah.
When all the guys have the same exact style, same exact size and stuff like that. It makes no sense. Makes no, absolutely no fucking sense. And the fact that they started it hot, man, like Ziggler takes out Kalisto. You're like, okay, we're going to get one-on-one thing. And then Kalisto comes back out later. It's like nothing happened. It's like, hey, guys, I overslept.
I'm back, and I'm going to do some spin moves and things like that. The thing that's weird about that whole angle and stuff is that you look at like a guy like Dolph Ziggler. I mean, regardless if he's face or heel, he gets over because of the way he sells and the way he presents himself. I mean, that guy was one of the faces that didn't necessarily get booed like, you know, all the other, some of the other faces get. And now he's trying to turn heel and he's still getting cheered. So now you're putting him against Apollo Crews, who's struggling in a handicap match where he's supposed to be the babyface against a heel.
A guy who's over still.
It was a little kind of weird. But I mean, hey, it was able to get some guys in the card working and doing things. And this is one of the highlights of the brand split, is the idea that Kalisto and Apollo Crews can now be showcased more on pay-per-views and things like that against talents like Ziggler. When before the brand split, they wouldn't have had those opportunities. So I think that's what we're kind of seeing a little bit. But before we talk more about WWE, let's talk about something that we didn't have a chance to talk about last week, Jesse, and that is WrestleCon. This was announced, I believe, was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago at the latest ACW show. Right. Basically, what it is, it's going to be this big, big event that ACW is putting on September, actually, you know, pardon me, that's
September?
No.
Come on, man. No, it's April 22nd.
Yeah, I know. I just saw the S, and it's the first thing I thought of. April 22nd at the Sunnyview Expo Center, not the Sunnyview Trailer Park, but the Sunnyview Expo Center
there in
Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
All right.
This is a jam-packed card, folks. Just going down, you're gonna see former WWE, former ECW superstar Kevin Thorne's going to be there. You know, former WWE, current TNA superstar The Hurricane's going to be there. Former WWE General Manager Vicky Guerrero is going to be there. A big match has already been signed. You're going to see the rematch of the Cinch, if you will. You know, the pardon a phrase there from Rosenberg, right?
Yeah.
You're going to see WLC2 as Swoggle takes on El Torito. That's going to be a huge matchup. Plus, you're going to also see Joey Avalon defending his ACW Heavyweight Championship against Mr. Anderson. But the one that's got everyone buzzing, though, is the Oshkosh return of Bret the Hitman Hart.
I mean, man.
Bret the Hitman Hart has not been to Oshkosh, Wisconsin since 92, so over 25 years. That's a big selling point for a lot of people. And from what it sounds like already, front row tickets are sold out. Second row tickets, third row tickets basically sold out as well. So this is already a huge, huge, huge plus for ACW, who just came off another great plus, too, last week with the Oshkosh West Benefit Show. 500 fans packed that place. It was an awesome time. I mean, these guys are really clicking on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, I mean, in Wisconsin, I mean, they are easily one of the top independent promotions here. I mean, if you think about the region in general, I mean, the idea of bringing in Bret the Hitman Hart, that's mind-boggling. So I think, you know, you can always hit up ACW's Facebook page. They got all the details on there. We're not going to give the link to you because if you don't know how to use a search bar by now, then you got to go to the doctor. Something's wrong with you. Yeah. But, just a phenomenal card. So many names, including not just the names, but the ACW roster, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of those guys are going to be there who still put on one hell of a show every time they go out to the ring and perform. So first three rows are sold out. So we're just telling you right now on this podcast, if there's any sort of want to go see this show, you might want to get your tickets ASAP because I do think this might be one that sells out.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those things where, you know, you don't see a lot of shows like this coming through. I mean, there is Blizzard Brawl. There is, you know, Rise to Honor and stuff like that. But this is something different that ACW hasn't really done. They're very much a like a family, almost like a scene type of place. You know, if you think of like a punk rock show, that's exactly what ACW kind of is. It's a very much like a punk rock show. The fans are very ruckus and stuff like that. For them to do this, and for Dylan and for Weimer to really kind of put it out there, like during the pre-show meeting, they're like, this is coming straight out of our pocket. If this fails, we fail.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit, this really hits the fan at this point in time. But what they're doing is they're putting a vision to their product and going that next step and seeing if they can actually do this in central Wisconsin. And I think they actually got a good chance of really pulling this one off, because one of the big things we see everywhere now is cons. And everywhere these cons are going, they're drawing money. Like, it doesn't matter if they're comic cons, like anime cons, whatever it is. Like, there's a gathering of people that want to go and see this and experience this. And for WrestleCon to make it to Oshkosh, I think it's going to be a good thing for them.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, this is just an opportunity for you to go. I don't know what the VIP ticket sales are. I don't know if those are only first row. But, man, Brett, this is probably, I'm going to go on a limb, the only possibility that some people here in Wisconsin are ever going to have the chance to see Bret Hart. So I definitely think it'd be worthwhile, and we know ACW already puts on a good product, so to add all these names and stuff on top of it, it's just going to be one other Huge show that I don't think anybody's going to miss. You'd almost think ACW is paying us to do this, but they're not.
Right? No, they're not really paying us at all.
We're just excited about it.
I mean, we're going to be there. I already called you like the second half, and you're just like, what? What?
Like putting it down the gallon.
What?
Because that's how it's been, because typically we're commentary partners at ACW, but it's conflicting schedules with our local federation here, RCCW, has kept me here in La Crosse, and you've gone up and did Oshkosh solo. But now we're gonna be able to reunite at this huge event, and I'm giddy. I'm giddy like a schoolgirl. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a good one. You want to make sure you get your tickets and everything like that. Another really cool event coming up here, though, in March, though, is March 8th up at the Academy, the School of Professional Wrestling up there in the Twin Cities. There's going to be a special seminar going on with one Shelton Benjamin. Now, this is a really cool seminar. If you want to make sure you learn from one of the best, one of the most well-traveled wrestlers in the last 20 years, Shelton Benjamin, of course, he's just like, a lot of people call him a very iconic worker.
Yeah.
And he's very much a guy who almost everyone feels like he hasn't really reached his potential either. So getting an opportunity to learn from him would be an experience. I think any wrestler, it doesn't matter like how long you've been in the game, this one's a good opportunity for you. And plus, you get to see one of the best training centers in the Midwest, period, bar none, for professional wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, you listen to national podcasts, you know, aside from ours these days, and the Academy has the name value has really rose. Their stock has really rose like crazy. I know Cal Creed doing some work there. So I know we have a lot of wrestlers that listen to Grapple Talk here in Wisconsin. So, you know, if you have that date free, you know, hit up the Academy's Facebook page, get the details on that, because that can only, you know, make you that much better. And plus, it's in the cities, right? So, I mean, it's not that far of a drive that
it's
a
like
lot of guys
have from here.
Yeah, it's not that far of a drive that a lot of guys wouldn't already make to go to a show. So. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another great opportunity for some guys looking to perfect their craft and then add something to their resume. I mean, that think about the connections that makes. Think about if you already think you're a good polished worker and you go to the Academy and you work out in the ring with Shelton Benjamin and, you know, Daivari's there and
Eric Cannon's there, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, Mr. Anderson is there. These guys see you, they're like, holy shit, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yep.
Boom, dude.
You didn't kill anyone.
Made.
Yeah.
You didn't kill anyone. Your story's made. Yeah. So, I mean, that's something else to keep in mind. Some cool stuff happening right around town. I mean, we got some big stuff happening not too far away from us, which is always exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely – it's kind of weird. I looked at my calendar already and was like, we've been booked basically every weekend since that first weekend in January. And I'm like, man, when is this going to slow the fuck down?
Yeah, because you got BCW this weekend too, right?
Yeah, we got BCW this weekend. Next weekend's a double shot with Legacy Pro. Plus, there's a benefit show that Tiny Hansen – you know, Tiny Love is putting on for a kid up in West Bend who's actually battling some severe medical conditions. So I'm going to donate our time, do that, and then it's right back in the saddle of RCCW on March 3rd. And then, man, March 4th, sheesh, you know, that's playoff basketball, you know. And I know you guys are going to be down in, you know, you're doing the RWA show again that weekend too or not?
I actually, Al Ducho or Nikki Duche is not booked for RWA that time, because the card is getting a little stacked. So, so they're more focused on the talent. I don't really know how to say this correctly, but anyways, AC Riley is the new heavyweight champion.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
So he'll be down there defending his belt. And they got a lot of stuff going on. I can't remember what exactly the card looked like the last time I saw it, but RWA always improving. They're bringing in some fresh talent. I think.
Colin Brooks is going to be there and like Danny Duggan.
I think that's what it's coming around to. I know that they've been kind of working the same day as another company that uses the same guys, so they're having to pull in some new blood, new talent, and a lot of cool things happening over at Revolutionary Wrestling Alliance. So you want to make sure you check out them as well. Lots of stuff always happening, obviously, around
the
area.
That's the same weekend too, where you got the WWE House Show here in La Crosse,
Honky Tonk Man,
comedy thing, and then you also got Fastlane in Milwaukee.
Which, yeah, I'm assuming a lot of the people that are listening to this right now are going to. I was just a guess. I have no idea.
Yeah, probably they're on the Fastlane there.
They're on the Fastlane to Fastlane. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, a little bit.
Cool. All right. Well, we are going to take one quick break, and we'll come back and do some WWE talk after this. You're listening to Grapple Talk. Bitches.
This is Stacey Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacey Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
Turn up! Clap, clap, clap! This is the Monster of the Midwest, Sadus. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like grapple talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word out about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show, and as always, support independent wrestling.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex and... Looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS, Instagram at Indie Power Rankings, on Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
Hey everybody, it's me, Darren Corbin. I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
Talk about your Psalms, talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Well, definitely, Nick, you alluded to it earlier in the show that we possibly are coming off probably the best 3-day stretch. I don't know, we're recording this on a Wednesday, so it could end up being a best like 4-day stretch of NXT
is, yeah.
How that turns out. But going back to Sunday with the Elimination Chamber and how much momentum the SmackDown brand really has going into WrestleMania, we kind of got a little bit more of a clearer picture, but still very muddled based on what happened on Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because like right now, we all guess the storyline, and I think we can still assume that's how it's going to be, where it's we got a Bray Wyatt and a Randy Orton storyline. You know, this thing's been going on forever, man.
Yeah.
They got quite a few weeks to build up to WrestleMania, too, because that Elimination Chamber pay-per-view ended, and now they don't have anything up until Mania, so they got plenty of time.
I think we're good, like, maybe 5 weeks, give or take?
Yeah, they got plenty of time to kind of stretch out whatever it is that they plan on doing. And Randy Orton came out and basically said, "You're my master, and I don't want to challenge my master." And who knows how that's going to go.
You are my master.
But Bray Wyatt winning the belt, man. I mean, you know, a lot of people loving this so far. I think, you know, it's kind of long overdue. Guy's been well-deserving of it for quite some time now. The brand split was the perfect opportunity for him to get it. I still go back and think that, you know, Bray Wyatt winning the Rumble, having Orton win in the Elimination Chamber, and then having Wyatt go over at WrestleMania makes it... You know, the title would have changed hands quite a few times in the span of a couple of months, but I think that's a bigger, like, just a bigger, what's like, sway of momentum for Wyatt going into post-WrestleMania season, just because then it's like, holy crap, dude, this guy got his WrestleMania moment, he won the belt off Orton, his buddy, and now he's ready to just start taking SmackDown by storm because... you know, while the Elimination Chamber win was great, I think it wasn't as special as a Rumble plus a Mania win would have been.
But winning the Chamber and pinning both John Cena and AJ Styles cleanly in the middle of the ring, I mean, that's pretty big.
Yeah, he looked huge. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And then, you know, you talk about Tuesday night, he worked both those dudes in a triple threat match and beat them cleanly again. So it's like the guy looks like a top star in SmackDown right now. And you kind of have to like the direction that the SmackDown writers are going because they are just booking – they're booking guys that, you know, right. You know, like we talked about Baron Corbin – Baron Corbin, honestly, at the chamber, looked like, you know, I know people probably don't want to hear this, but he looked like a guy that could probably hold the belt, too. I mean, how they're booking him, he looks fantastic. He looks like a, you know, late 90s Kane. I mean, that's kind of what I, you know, a big man that likes to kick people in the face. That's kind of what I'm getting from Baron
man,
Corbin.
I got this thing now where he's like, man, my name's Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, great. We got two words for them, huh, Kane? And everyone's freaking out.
Like the best DX moment of all time.
That's not the best.
But they're booking it so well, and I'm really happy with how things are with Bray Wyatt. You know, and again, we're just left with so many questions. What's John Cena going to do? What's AJ Styles, arguably the best worker in WWE right now, going to do? Are Baron Corbin and Dean Ambrose going to culminate at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship? You know, where does the women's division go from here? Because Becky Lynch,
we got a new
champion in Naomi. Becky Lynch and Mickie James seemingly finishing their feud on Tuesday night. Like, where are we going from here with the women's division? Is the tag team division going to get better? I don't know. But lots of questions that haven't been answered yet in SmackDown, and I think it's exciting going into WrestleMania season.
Well, I think that's kind of like the cool thing they've done is they finally pulled the trigger on a story where it's like, what happens if buddies actually, you know, like one's got the title and the other one doesn't.
Right.
You know, especially when it comes to a group like the Wyatt family. So for Orton to throw away his title opportunity and then have Daniel Bryan basically come out and say, hey, man, we have a battle royal next week on SmackDown. Whoever wins that will be going into WrestleMania. So that really kind of opens up a lot of different doors because, like, what would happen if, like, let's say someone besides Orton wins, you know? So, like, at that point in time, does Orton kind of still finagle his way back into that main event spot to basically, you know, protect Bray? So let's say, like, a guy like John Cena wins, right? So then you have John Cena, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. I'm curious. Do you think some of the stuff that we've seen the past couple of years with the Royal Rumble, and I guess not past couple of years, do you think it kind of defeats it a little bit when you look at a Royal Rumble winner going into Mania not necessarily as the primary opponent for the belts? Like when you look back at like the whole thing that happened with Daniel Bryan and the Triple Threat or any other Triple Threat that's come, like with the Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Chris Benoit thing that happened at WrestleMania 20, blanking. I know it's happened a couple other times since then.
Yeah.
But do you think that
the Rey Mysterio one?
Yeah. Do you think that kind of defeats the whole idea of winning the Rumble, the purpose of that?
I think
kills it a little bit.
I think the thing that kind of hurts the Rumble really is the fact that the guy wins and all of a sudden everyone's already fast tracking that main event. They're like, ugh. I think that's the thing that really kind of kills it. Because instead of actually enjoying the ride to get to that spot, you're like, oh, we got to watch this match.
Oh,
like
right.
That's the thing that's been happening with like Roman Reigns almost the last couple of years. Triple H winning the belt. You know, you got Orton winning this year. Orton winning, everyone's like, oh, Cena's the champ. We got to watch this match again.
Yeah.
It's like, are you fucking kidding me? It's like
2 months.
I mean, just enjoy the ride. You don't know what's going to happen. It's like you pick up a book, you know, and chapter one, first word's the, and you're like, I'm tired of this book. It started with the.
Yep.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like just enjoy the ride on this beautiful road to WrestleMania that's filled with potholes and all that dumb shit.
Yeah.
You know, because like, man, who gives a shit? You know, like I mean, if you're losing sleep at night because, or you're going to boycott wrestling or whatever it is because Randy Orton won the Rumble, then you know what? Fuck off.
This is different than any other podcast anybody listens to because we don't, I mean, we complain sometimes, but I feel like most time we come on here and complain about other people complaining.
Yeah, I know. I think that's the worst thing. It's like, number one, we're fans.
Yeah.
You know, and like number two, it's like we watch it for the enjoyment of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're watching it and you're really loving the wrestling. And you don't love the storylines. I mean, we can sit here and talk about beginning with New Japan, like those two shows. Cause like, Jesus Christ, Nick, I don't know if you got a chance to watch any of those matches, but like, dude, talk about fucking awesome shit. Maybe we'll get to it at some point. But I think with the amount of content, though, that the WWE does have, sometimes I feel like fans expect more turnaround.
Yeah.
But when they do get that turnaround, they complain about the fucking turnaround. It's kind of weird. Like, title, like, you know, jumping hands, being hot potato and stuff like that. Like, especially when we come up to the Raw talk, you know, like, I think a lot of that is just, you know, fans getting way too much of what they want.
Yeah.
And they're slowly realizing that we don't really want that.
Yeah. And that's what's weird about it. And that's the thing about the chamber. I mean, and it could go either way when you look forward to what's happening in SmackDown. And that's something that I think, you know, we're all looking forward to, I'd hope, as fans. And if you mention the Battle Royale next week, I mean, what route can they take with that? I mean, like we mentioned, there's a ton of guys that have nothing to do right now. And, you know, Orton could win it.
Mm-hmm.
And Bray's like, it must be your destiny, man. We
have to battle.
It's the writing on the walls, man. It's what we have to do.
But you're my master.
Battle Royale next week. Let's keep doing it.
Just that Battle Royale.
Then that would be shit.
All right, cool. So let's say we're building the SmackDown side of WrestleMania. What matches? Let's just put four matches out there that we want to see come through.
Okay, I'll tell you. Here's what I got. Okay.
So we got Wyatt as champ.
I think Wyatt and Orton.
Wyatt Orton.
I think Wyatt Orton. I think it makes the most sense storyline-wise. I think they can put on a good match together and have a great storyline going into Mania. I'd really honestly like to see Dean Ambrose and John Cena one-on-one for the IC belt.
Ambrose and Cena?
Yeah, for the Intercontinental Championship. Somebody mentioned that the Intercontinental belt is the one belt that Cena has never won. So that's the
I
kind
think
of
Brown might have mentioned that.
I like that storyline.
Yeah, that's a
I
good
really,
storyline, but it almost seems like that would be almost too quick to pull the trigger on that one, you know?
Yeah. You think so? It might be a
better
build-up.
Like, I think what you could really do is the Battle Royal is like the perfect time for like the Miz to get his revenge against Cena for the Elimination Chamber thing, so that you could almost do Cena versus Miz. Now the weird thing is though, you hear some of
the
right
rumors,
the rumors on the wall would be like Miz and Maurice as a tag team against Cena and Nikki.
Yep.
I don't think that's the route they're gonna go because of the recent situation with Nikki and Natalya, just how good that situation
is. Yeah,
so at some point that's gotta end too, you know. And you really don't wanna put this is just me being me right now. I don't think you wanna put those two issues together in the same match because it's going to detract from one of them.
Right.
And the one it's probably going to detract from is going to be the women's angle as it is. So if you're really looking to highlight that women's angle, you don't really do that. But I think Cena versus Miz is definitely something you could see. Also, one of the big rumors flowing around, someone just like, I don't know who it was on Twitter, was just like, what if they had both Styles and Cena eliminate each other at the same time, last two in that Battle Royal? So you got yourself a Fatal 4-Way then for the belt.
Fatal 4-Way is, I don't know, man. Do they work out? I mean, SmackDown had a Fatal 4-Way, what was that, the week before the Chamber in their opener, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was a great match, and Cena or Wyatt were included in it, but it was a great match.
Well, 4-Ways for the championship, I mean, the last one we had was 2000. WrestleMania 2000, and that was, everyone would agree, that was a clusterfuck.
Exactly, and that's something that you'd have to worry about. If we're going to go back and we're booking realistically, you know, I can see AJ Styles shoehorning himself in the triple threat match, Wyatt, Orton, and AJ Styles, just because I think right now the hot rumor, everybody's talking about it, Styles and Shane McMahon,
but
that
why?
Is getting so much
but why?
Hate,
There has been no build-up for that at all.
That's the thing. There's been nothing between Shane and AJ. Mm-hmm. AJ, the thing that was great about Shane and Undertaker was that it was a spot fest, Hell in a Cell match. And what is Shane great at? Those big spots, getting killed, jumping off the Hell in the Cell, and dying.
Yeah.
That's what he's great at. He was great at doing stuff like that, hitting people with chairs and stuff.
That's terrible when it's like, you break it down, and he's like, he's good at jumping off stuff.
He's good. He is. Is he not? That's what we remember him for.
That is, if you want to talk about his tools, if this was the NFL draft, you know, like Mel Kiper be like, this kid, he can jump off stuff and die. You know, like that's it.
That's all he does. He's really good at it. He's a good role player.
Special teams player all the way.
But when you talk about AJ Styles, like this dude has the chance, he can put on 5-star matches with people. And I mean, I think what you're doing if you put him in a match with Shane McMahon is, you can try to tell a story of him versus an authority figure or whatever, but I think it's going to really take away from AJ Styles' ability to put on a fantastic match. So I think the best thing for him would probably be just to throw him in that title match, because if you're talking about that battle royale, he wins it, like you mentioned earlier. Orton's like, oh, master, like, I can't let you lose the belt, and then they can continue the whole heel thing. Maybe AJ turns face, because that dude just can't get booed. It's impossible for him to get booed. I mean,
he's over like a million bucks.
If you watch him on promo segments, it's pretty funny, because he looks like one of those indie heels that tries to get the cheap heat, because it's just like, he's so over it. He's just like, yeah, well, we're in Wisconsin, and I hate the Packers, so fuck
off. Woo, fuck Ken Thompson, which is that, half the fan base.
Which
it is,
it
right
is yeah. But I think that's a. I think that could be a realistic possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Ambrose and Corbin, I think, is definitely a match to see. And I think we will see Cena and Miz maybe do a rematch of WrestleMania 27 or whatever that Mania was. Where
I think it was 27.
Event.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind seeing Ziggler and Styles though.
Ziggler Styles would be pretty
Mania.
Good, but like
giving him a lot of time.
You almost got to figure out how are you going to make that work, you know, and that's the big thing. I know we got like 6 weeks, 5 weeks, give or take, you know, so there's still a lot of TV time left, but you want to make sure that if you're going to establish, like, your big feuds for SmackDown leading into Mania, then you can actually, you know, over-pollinate them all so you can make them all work and actually have a really fun show to watch, because, like, honestly, if you're going to do that, that's going to make SmackDown even stronger than Raw. And Raw right now is actually, you know, that's a good segue. Raw probably came off one of its best, I would have to say, probably best episodes of Raw in quite some time.
I agree.
And really off the strength of two things. And one of them was a promo segment between Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, and I mean, we kind of heard about this a little bit, and you could see it if you go back and watch Raw, if you record it or whatever. But basically, we saw Kevin Owens and Triple H backstage and talking about something. We don't know what they were talking about, but
it's almost kind of like, you know, the camera's just kind of there and they're just talking to each other, no audio. You don't know what it's about.
Yeah, it's like, well, what's going on? What's going on between Triple H and Kevin Owens? It's like, I don't know, but it probably doesn't mean anything good. So basically, you know, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho have this running gag of being the two best friends that anybody could ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been hilarious. It's been great so far. It started a long time ago. And they've been just running with it. And then all of a sudden, you know, Kevin Owens pretty much pulls the old NXT Sami Zayn turn and kills Chris Jericho, throws him through the Jerrytron, power bombs him on the apron, and you know, kind of sets up something that I think we can kind of look forward to for Owens and Jericho going into WrestleMania. The nice thing about this, I will say, right off the bat, I want to hear what you have to think about this whole breakup. I like it that it kind of brings Kevin Owens back to that vicious prize fighter, because it's felt like for the past couple of months, past couple of shows, pay-per-views, that he's kind of gone into being this, like, you know,
non-threatening
pussy heel that can't, you know, this is the same guy that beat John Cena. This isn't the same guy that beat John Cena clean in his, you know, his first pay-per-view match. And I think this is a good way to kind of set up that mean streak again. Like, make Kevin Owens be this badass heel going into Fastlane against Goldberg, at least making it seem like he has a fighting chance. Because now, obviously, we know that Chris Jericho is not going to be in his corner at Fastlane. Yeah. So I just like the idea of, you know, taking this opportunity to break them up and you know, kind of trying to make Kevin Owens look like a monster again. Because while, you know, the whole best friends thing was great and I'm sad they broke up, I'm really happy to see that Kevin Owens is going to get back to the guy he was before he had the championship, and that was, like, just a threat to everybody that he was against in the ring.
It's going to be kind of tough, though, no matter which way you kind of really put it, putting Owens and Goldberg together before you basically get what everyone wants to see, you know, or, you know, they might not want to see until it actually happens. That's Goldberg and Lesnar. So right now you got this bargaining chip that is the heavyweight title, or the universal title, pardon me. You know, it's universal, fuck that shit. So basically you got that chip right there. So you're almost wondering, oh, man, like, Owens is going to lose that match. He is going to lose that match to Goldberg. Well, you know, it might not be that way. Now, think about this, Nick. If you're Chris Jericho, and how hot are you going to be during that matchup? Would you try to run interference or something like that? And if you do you go after Goldberg or do you go after Owens, right? Do you just cost Owens the match by attacking Owens? Owens wins, and he still retains the title, you know? And then that becomes basically Owens versus Jericho for the Universal title.
And I think that's – and this is, again, I can see it from both perspectives. Honestly, you know, this is the best thing about WWE booking, because once things happen and you take 48 hours to think about them and you're like, I don't really give a shit what happens.
Yeah.
I just like watching wrestling. Titles are titles. I could care less if Lesnar and Goldberg is for the belt opposed to Owens and Jericho is for the belt.
Yeah.
But I think storyline purposes, like if I'm just trying to piece this together in my head, what makes sense to me is that if you have Goldberg go out there against Owens, you know, it's really hard to think that these two guys are going to have like an actual serviceable like 10
There's
to
no way they're
going to
go
matchup.
10.
There's no way. And you hate to kill Owens. I mean, you hate this guy's had this long reign. You don't want to just shit on him because then you're shitting on a guy that's basically been at the top of your company for the past however many months. I mean,
like
regardless,
6 months.
Six months. So you don't want to do that. So I think, you know, obviously a Jericho or Lesnar interference is imminent. It's for sure going to happen, right? But I still like the idea of Owens and Jericho for the belt because then that makes it feel like, you know, it's like it means more. It kind of puts it higher up on the hierarchy of the WrestleMania card because as we talked about, Goldberg and Lesnar is pretty much as big as it gets.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking at like a freaking match point system, Goldberg and Lesnar is like already at a 10, out of 10 out of 10. Like you can't make it much bigger. What's the point of throwing the belt in there when you can possibly make one of these undercard matches like an Owens and Jericho even more important? But I can see it from both ways just, you know, because, you know, when WrestleMania season comes around, they always talk about it. It's appealing to the casual fan. A lot more people know who Goldberg is opposed to Kevin Owens. And if you're going into Mania saying, heavyweight champion Goldberg is defending the belt against Brock Lesnar, that'll probably get a lot more people's heads turning that don't necessarily keep up with wrestling on a day-to-day, month-to-month basis as a champion Owens versus a champion Jericho.
That is definitely true. So we'll see how that one plays out. Another storyline on Raw right now. Charlotte. For some apparent reason, she's been snake-bitten when it comes to the Raw main events. She loses to Bayley. Congratulations, Bayley! You win the Women's Championship going into WrestleMania. So what's exactly next coming up here for the women on the Raw side?
I honestly have no idea. Mm-hmm. My guess is that WWE loves this Charlotte undefeated streak at pay-per-views. They love it. So my guess is we might get some sort of a mixed, or not mixed, but some sort of a tag match at Fastlane between, like, you know, it'll be Sasha and Bayley versus Charlotte and Nia or something, or I don't know where Dana Brooke is in her recovery, but something like that tag team match, and then at Mania we'll get that fatal four-way that everybody's been talking about where Charlotte will win the belt back and continue her undefeated streak, because I truly do think WWE is going to attempt to get Charlotte to 16 women's championships before it's all said and done. I'm pretty sure that's the plan right now. She's already at what, like 3 or 4? Like she's
gotta be
there
at like 4.
And she's been in the business for
little over
a year.
Main roster for about a year and a half.
Yeah, that's what I meant. WWE a little over a year and a half. So yeah, it's just like I think that's the route that they're probably planning to take. Give Bayley the belt. Charlotte will win it back at the pay per view, and then she'll also get another championship reign under her notch. She'll be at 5 or whatever the hell it is. What do you think?
You know, I'm not really too sure, you know, because, like, you could almost do, like, a triple threat or something like that and not necessarily have Charlotte, you know, bite the pin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the ways you can actually do it as well. I don't know. It's really big heads up to Bayley there. That's a really good win for her. That's a really good win for the division and stuff like that. Another thing coming out of Raw, too, was the Samoa Joe sit-down interview, which seems to be kind of, like, sparking some... Well, where does he kind of stand type of vibes?
Yeah, and I still have no idea what they're doing with Samoa Joe. Like, here, I want to ask you this. If Seth Rollins wasn't injured and he were to go on and face Triple H at WrestleMania, what do you think the plan would be for Joe? Do you think it's just the Andre the Giant battle, or do you think they have a match in mind for him? Because I can't pick anybody else on the Raw side that he would go up against, because it seems like everybody else has their match.
You know, that's a really good point. I think right now, you know, it was very much, okay, let's get a big heater, do Rollins and him, like, leading into Fastlane, leading up to WrestleMania, give him something so he has something to do before Triple H. Because Triple H is not going to do a full-time schedule. He's just going to do the one-time special match, blah, blah, blah. So I think, almost like a blessing in disguise, like, Samoa Joe gets some extra time here. Now he's got a program coming up with Sami Zayn, which could be really good.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, hopefully it's a little bit better than the one they had in NXT, you know? you just hope. But, it's going to be interesting to see how that one kind of plays out as well. Of course, like the big one that a lot of people are kind of ho-hum about, and I think you know where I'm going to go on this one, Nick, is the Roman Reigns Undertaker. Are we actually going to get that match for WrestleMania this year, or you think it's going to be one of those things?
That's definitely happening. Yeah. You can't. If you go back in the Rumble and watch that elimination, you cannot not do Roman Reigns and Undertaker. There's no way. Mm-hmm. I mean, that I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but I can still remember the face that Roman Reigns made after he eliminated. I can remember that picture of him looking at Undertaker outside the ring, and it was,
you know,
good.
As much as people like to shit on Roman Reigns, like, that moment, there was something there. And you're like, you know what? Man, that's a special moment.
That's what sucks. I mean, because it's like people shit on him so much, and then he tosses him out. And I just remember when we were sitting at People's Food Co-op, and that we watched that happen, and I was like, whoa, that was kind of, I felt like I felt something. I was like, man, you know, whenever you watch something happen in wrestling, and it almost, you know, we all know what it is, but it almost like it felt like real. Like, it was like, whoa, that was really good, like just facial expressions and stuff. Like, holy shit, you know, and that's what happened. And Roman Reigns is great at doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of doing stuff that's great, Jesse, before we wrap up our WWE talk, I wanted to bring up Emelina. Coming, making her debut or whatever transformation on Raw. A lot of people hating. A lot of people, even credible people, hating on this. Article came out said that Emelina wasn't impressing backstage officials at WWE, so they scrapped it. What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
You know, man, I'm just gonna So if the character wasn't impressing leading up to it, she hasn't been on TV in more like 16 weeks.
Yeah.
She had that much time to actually get that character, and like they had that much time to get her prepped for that character. So when she got there that day and they're like, oh man, this isn't going to work, let's just scrap it. Like,
what the hell?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you had a legit like 4 months to try to get this right and you scrapped it. Like, I thought before she got injured, her evil Emma character was, like, hitting good peaks.
I loved it.
It was going good. So you decide to reinvent the wheel because you thought you had something there.
Yeah.
You know, and it turns out whatever hunch you had was the wrong hunch.
Yeah. And it sounds like now they're going to bring back Evil Emma, which is what I'm hoping they bring back Evil Emma, because I thought Evil Emma was great. I mean, she just had an unfortunate back injury that kept her out for an extended period of time. You know, I was kind of, like, reading up on some forums, and they made a great point. It's like, well, you know, it was kind of a weird debut, a weird transformation, and we got a lot of hype out of it. But, I mean, look at the bright side. We get Evil Emma back, who a lot of us are fans of, and now we have, like, whatever that was, 14 weeks of pictures of Emma in bikinis.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So, and if you wanted to, like, that would give her ammo, too, like, for her character. Be like, you know, the WWE wanted me to be this, you know, and like, I'm not that. You know, like, this is perfect stuff, you know? Like, that is a really, really good story to tell. And, you know, we're just going to kind of see where it goes from that. It's always kind of weird, too. It's like, man, like, the echo chamber right away when something happens is so fucking negative. It's always weird. Yeah. Like, but it's just, like, the nature of the beast, and some people just like being negative about wrestling.
Yeah, just hating on it. I mean, I'm a huge Emma supporter. I would probably say she's probably my favorite. She's probably my favorite female worker.
She gives you a fever.
She gives me a fever. She's probably my favorite. I mean, honestly, she's probably my favorite women's worker right now. I like, out of all the other.
I mean, I like the bubble thing. The bubble is great.
I hated that. But I liked Evil Emma. I was a huge fan of her in NXT, and I, you know, she always put on really good matches. I thought she was really underrated.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, I'm kind of a hipster, and I like some of the under the radar competitors or whatever. Yeah. So I was a huge fan of Emma. So, you know, see everybody shitting on her, I was just like, man, she just gave you all these awesome picks and bikini, and she is a really good worker. Leave her alone. Yeah. Leave Emma alone.
And then you went woo woo woo.
And then I went woo woo woo. You know it.
Yeah.
Because her and Zack Ryder are an item.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah. No. Go figure, man.
It is weird.
Really weird.
Zack Ryder's still injured too, I think.
Yeah, he blew out his knee, didn't he?
Yeah, or something like that.
And then Darren Young blew out his elbow. You haven't seen that injury? That thing is gross.
He blew out his elbow?
He blew it out. He took a green apron spot and, like, just elbow just, like, popped out of socket.
Oh, my
gosh. Was nasty. That
nasty.
Nasty stuff.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I think I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
No, that's not good, man. This is,
I think overall we can agree, though, moving forward, Road to WrestleMania, I think it's really exciting. There's a lot of questions left unanswered, even though we have an idea of what a lot of these matches are going to turn out to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, this is the time of year where I start, you know, getting really into it. Like, I try to watch every Raw and SmackDown that I can. You know, I watch the Hulu things afterwards where they condense everything down. I read all the reports. I listen to all the post-show podcasts. Like, I get into it because, you know, I want to, you know as much about the storylines as I can going into WrestleMania. Plus, Riley has decided to take me along to Fastlane, so I'm going to that in Milwaukee.
Oh, way to go, guy.
Mm-hmm.
You probably needed someone to stay awake while you fell asleep. That's probably what it was.
Well, that's what happens when you you live with a guy who wins tickets to things, and all of his his other friends live across the state. So,
are you saying he's only got two friends here?
Yeah, probably me and you.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And who else? My cat. Does that count?
Yeah, your cat. Him and your cat are pretty close.
They're buds.
Yeah,
Instagram buds.
Best of buds.
Besties.
Yep.
All right, so let's take one more quick break, and we'll come back with, we'll do something else when we come back. Bye.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines. I answer listener questions, and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up the Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smark Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smark Money. Check us out.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerweck.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Hey, this is Raging Nathan Gus. You are listening to Grapple Talk, where they are raging 25-8.
All right, welcome back to Grapple Talk. Did a lot of talking about stuff today, because that's kind of the point of the show.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really got together in the last couple weeks, actually, Nick. And, like, a lot of weird things always happen. We don't get together, you know. That's a weird thing. Like, you know, I was at the EPW show this past week, you know.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, that was an interesting show. Like, the promoter, he's been going through a lot of different stuff, so he actually didn't show up. Yeah.
Like, do I know the promoter?
Yeah, you do.
What?
He didn't show up. He put the guy who usually does commentary over there, Pete. He put him in charge, and he put Sean, the guy who actually owns the ring and the the DJing service in charge. 6 matches, 2 hours. Good show.
Really?
Somehow, some way, like I give credit to everyone in that locker room from like EPW and JPW for really putting on a really good show and actually. What could have been an absolute train wreck turned into a very good show. And, like, Dewey Wolf, like, a guy doesn't really bullshit with a lot of people. Comes up to you after the show, and he's like, that was the best show EPW has ever put on. And you're like, man, that's really kind of cool. So, like, kudos to those guys. I don't know what the future of EPW is going to be. But from that, it seemed like there was a newfound focus with a lot of the guys, and they're kind of excited where they're going next.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool to know because yeah. I know, you know, we used to be regulars over at EPW, and then it seemed like the bookings kind of trailed off a little bit, and, like, the roster got turned over, and I'm not sure what was happening. And
well,
I don't know
for,
what was
like,
last
a lot
time.
Of us, it's, like, you know, different commitments.
Yep.
And, like, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but, like, our paydays were going down, too, every show.
Yep.
You know, and it's kind of very hard when your commitments change and your paydays are going down to actually keep on going to the same place.
Right. But that's good to hear that they're kind of on the up and up then, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't do anything this past weekend.
And nothing, man? Yeah, like, nothing? You had Valentine's Day. How was Valentine's
Day? I did.
Day?
It was fun. It was a good time. Went to Po Griba's.
How was
first
it?
Time eating there. Great restaurant.
Yep.
It's always weird going to fancy restaurants because I never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the food is like, you know, it's like you... You know it's a fancy restaurant when you go there,
mm-hmm.
and on the menu it's like the menu says like no changes. Like you can't be like I don't really like mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
It's like too bad. That's just how it is. That's how the chef wants to make it. You know it's like it's like you know you're at a fancy restaurant when the menu doesn't even tell you what the sides are. It's just like chef special. Or maybe you had a really crappy restaurant.
maybe a crappy restaurant.
But
I know where you're kind of coming from, though, because like, I've been at the Pro Griba's a couple times. And it's always, you know it's a fancy restaurant when they actually will name what the food is, and then on the bottom would be a description of what it is.
Yeah.
So it's a succulent sirloin with like mushroom sauce and green beans.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah, and you're like, wow, man. Yeah. Holy shit.
It was fucking good.
And it's poetry.
Oh, my gosh. It was so good.
That's cool.
So that was awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we haven't done much the past couple of weeks. We had RWA where Riley took home the RWA championship, so that was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Not the best showing by, it was a quick match. Wish it could have been a little different, but you know what? That's just kind of how the storyline wrote itself.
Yeah.
But the night before, man, AC Riley, I'll give it to him. I don't know if he listens to this or not. Him and Maru put on one hell of a match at RCCW.
Yeah.
Dude. Like, that was a good match. I think Maru almost died.
Okay.
But, you know, AC Riley losing the belt there, but I think he probably lost the belt in lacrosse the best way he could have lost the belt, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Got his shoulders pinned to the mat, 1, 2, 3.
Actually tapped.
Tapped? Well, even better. Even better. Out.
It was good enough to where Vic Ross actually said it wasn't too bad.
Wow, nice.
So for Vic Ross to give AC Riley a compliment must mean something. I thought it was a really good match.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty fun being able to watch that. And the crowd there was really big. It was like 200-person crowd. And for
wow,
Legion,
that's nice. Yeah.
For Legion, that's pretty big. No names. So, yeah, that was really cool. And RWA, you know, the next day, like I said, it was a pretty good show overall. His match with Moses ended pretty quickly, so he'll go up there, and I'm not exactly sure who his opponent is for the March show, but I think he's got something planned to do some big things at RWA, so that'll be exciting.
Kudos to him.
Yeah, no talking with him. He's really excited. It's his first heavyweight, you know, that's his first heavyweight belt.
Yeah.
So, he's got to step up to the challenge to be the face of a company, and, you know, I think he's up for it. With RWA especially, too. He likes coaching a lot of the guys in the back and stuff like that. He kind of took that leadership role a little bit, so.
Well, definitely. You got to lead by example when you're the big dog, then.
The big dog. He's not a good guy or a bad guy.
He's the guy. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, man. I know what you mean. But yeah, so, like, you know, getting the opportunity to actually, you know, you got to catch up on some pro wrestling that happened. We got a chance to catch up on New Japan Pro Wrestling. They actually ran two of their big New Beginning shows.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, actually. It was probably just last week, actually, it was. It was kind of interesting because they actually split up the roster basically to highlight their two main storylines going forward. And, of course, one of them is Okada's title reign right now. Him and Suzuki had a hellacious match. When you're talking about just a perfect wrestling match when it came to just working over a body part, that is exactly what you got to see in this matchup. A lot of people were talking about it. If you haven't seen it, go out there and watch it. On that same show, you had Goto take it on Juice Robinson. Juice Robinson probably had his best showing yet in New Japan Pro Wrestling. They got something special with Juice, and they're bringing out a lot of fire with him. And Goto right now, like, being the never heavyweight champion is perfect for this guy. He's a mid-card champion. He's really kind of putting it all together. He's building up that confidence, building up that rapport with the fans. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him have a really good G1 this year.
Mm.
We'll just kind of see where it goes from there. And, of course, they had their second New Beginning show not too long ago. Actually, it was the 11th, I believe it was. That one had three matches on there that had almost everyone on the fucking planet talking about. You had Shibata and Ospreay, which was just an amazing match. I don't know if you actually got to see the little GIF sequence where Ospreay ended up, like, doing the shooting star press off the apron, then dodged a kick by rolling like Spider-Man.
That's crazy.
Got back in the ring, hit a few moves. I mean, it was an absolutely awesome match. You also got to see the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship matches. Takahashi took on Dragon Lee. You know, these guys, unbelievable chemistry, and these guys were on fire again in this one. I'm shocked and amazed both of these guys are still alive, because some of the bumps they took were just absolutely amazing. And a match that a lot of people really had their eye on going into it was the matchup between Naito and Michael Elgin. This was a match that was supposed to be happening back in October. Elgin got injured, eye injury. They actually played that into the matchup as well. Fantastic showing from both guys. At one point, Naito goes for the suicide dive, and Elgin catches him and puts him into a suplex right away. It's almost like a solid motion. So, like, he comes in, like, Naito comes in, and Elgin's just, like, that perfect spot where, like, you know, Naito's coming in, like, this way, and he can catch him by his head. And just vertical suplex, walks up the ramp, dumps him backwards. Perfect spot. One of the most amazing things you're ever going to see in pro wrestling. Like, the amount of power that Elgin had in that spot, especially catching a guy full momentum like that. You know, Naito's not a small guy. He's probably, like, 220 pounds, you know. full momentum. Like, that's a lot of fucking strength, you know? So kudos to New Japan doing really good things. They got a big 45th anniversary show coming up. Okada's taking on Tiger Mask W in a non-title match. And, of course, everyone really knows that the worst kept secret right now in pro wrestling, besides it being fake, is that Tiger Mask W is Ibushi.
Yeah.
So keep your eye on this matchup.
Ibushi and Okada. Yeah.
You're getting Ibushi versus Okada, and it's a non-title match. So if you really want to tip your hat, depending on how the match goes, at some point in time, you actually might see Ibushi proper taking on Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
I got to ask you, as a guy that follows New Japan pretty closely, do you have a G1 prediction? Do you have a guy in mind right now? I know it's a way off, but I mean, do you have anybody that you think could take the G1 this year?
I think one of the guys, a lot of people actually have some money on maybe winning it, it's going to be Shibata this year.
Oh, yeah.
Shibata's a big, big money favorite. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Elgin has a really good showing. Mm. But I just don't know if they want to go with a different foreigner winning the G1 after you had Kenny Omega win the G1.
Yep.
It looks like a lot of things on the plate right now. Like, Kenny Omega is going to be competing in the New Japan Cup coming up here. So if he wins New Japan Cup, of course, he'll get a title shot sooner than the G1. So I don't know. Like, with New Japan coming over to America for July 1st, July 2nd over there, I don't know if they want to put the belt yet on Omega just, you know, for that tour.
Yep.
I'm going to have him drop it sometime during, you know, the G1 tournament. You never really know. So it'll be very interesting to see how that one kind of plays out. Honestly, I really don't, because if you would have asked me last year at the same time who would have won the G1, I never would have said Omega.
Really?
Never. Not in a heartbeat.
That's a great thing about the G1. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I wanted to ask you about, it because it seems like the G1 not only propels a guy, obviously, in New Japan, but it seems like the winner of G1 is always, like, happens to be, like, the most talked about wrestler in the frickin' world, you know, for a couple of months. And that's what happened with, obviously, Kenny Omega. So I didn't know if there was some prediction that you had. Because I know it's hard to, obviously, so far out, because so many things could change. Mm-hmm. And who knows, maybe The Rock would start working for New Japan. The Rock says, you stupid idiot, Okada, go down Jabroni Avenue and SmackDown Hotel.
Kind of be like, what is he talking about? What's he talking about?
I speak some English and I still don't know.
You know, The Rock, the guy from Fast and Furious, is out here talking to me. Like, what's up with this? You know,
you
like,
no.
But I know, like, a lot of cool things happening too. Like, TNA is working out on a new deal with Pro Wrestling Noah, and it sounds like Pro Wrestling Noah is also teaming up with Great Muta's promotion, W1. So you're kind of seeing, like, I think a lot of it happens to do with the fact that Noah needs bodies for their promotion. Mm-hmm. Wrestle One needs bodies for the promotion, and TNA needs bodies for the promotion.
Right.
It's just a good fit for all three of them. So hopefully that works out for everyone involved. Like, a good time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, definitely. So I know you kind of mentioned some of those matches. Google searches sometimes can be easy to find some of those, so just do that.
Yeah.
If you want to see some New Japan action, check out New Beginning. They're one of their big shows after Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, it's like the first two big shows. They had New Beginning in Sapporo and in Osaka, so you can find both of those no problem on the Daily Motions or the YouTubes, or you can use New Japan World proper.
Yeah, you can.
You know, you can buy it from your local bootlegger as well. You know, whatever way you want to do it to watch them, watch them.
Yeah.
You know, here's the funny thing. It's like, you imagine, like, how much money someone would actually save by not buying from the local bootlegger, just getting New Japan World.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, New Japan, they're putting bootleggers out of business.
Yeah.
All these streaming apps are putting bootleggers out of business because for the longest time, you know, sometimes bootleggers sell those DVDs at premium prices because you can't get them anywhere else. And now you can find them everywhere.
See, but I love our bootleggers.
I love our bootleggers,
too. They're great.
I still buy stuff from them all the time. It's just great.
Mm-hmm.
They make great DVD covers.
Yeah.
Do they not? Do they make those? Who makes those?
I think, like, they get them with the files, man. Everything comes in a zip. Because, like, I remember...
Who's behind that? Is it, like, some big DVD cartel or something?
I don't know, man. Because, like, I got a few things from IVP, like, video. And, like, basically they were free downloads or whatever the hell. But, like, they came in zips. And, yeah, you had your DVD, like, cover file in there and everything. Yeah. It's kind of like if you bought, like, an album online and got it zip. You know, you got everything, like, your liner notes in there and all that jazz.
I want that job. I want to be the guy that makes the DVD covers.
Yeah.
You know, like, The best of Steve Blackman, Volume 8. You know, it's like
the head
cheese.
That's the stuff.
That's the stuff that you get from bootleggers, though. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you know, I've never actually seen a copy of The Best of Steve Blackman, Volume 1 through 8.
You haven't seen any of those?
No, never.
They're a hot commodity. They go quick.
Man, like, I'm surprised, like, some of the stuff you actually do get to see. It's like, I got, like, the Volume 1 and the best of Bad News Brown. He's one of my personal favorites growing up. Like, I thought he was the baddest fucking dude on the planet.
Uh-huh.
You know, he hit people in the back of the head with his ghetto blaster. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
You can't get that anywhere else.
No, you
except
can't.
Except from your local bootlegger.
Exactly.
Or maybe YouTube. I don't know.
YouTube's always kind of sketchy. Yeah. Oh, hey, man. Did you hear the big news?
What's that?
Andre the Giant documentary coming to HBO.
Saw that.
That's going to be huge.
Oh, man. Who's behind that?
Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons.
Formerly
yep.
the Grantland. So, you know, yep. he was one of the guys that really kind of spearheaded the 30 for 30 movie. He's actually getting one of the directors who did the he did the 85's Bears 30 for 30.
Nice.
You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
Fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most highly touted 30 for 30s.
Yeah, it's like one of those 30 for 30s, like you hate the Bears, but by the end, like, you are absolutely in tears based
yeah.
on that story.
Yeah.
You know, it's an amazing story. And of course, like, The Rock is actually producing a biofilm about Paige and her family.
Yeah, what the heck is going
like,
on?
That is weird as shit. Yeah.
I've never heard of, you know, a more weird way to try to get into somebody's pants.
I don't think he's trying to get in her pants.
Oh.
Yeah, like, she's...
I know, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. What was crazy, though, was, like, one of the casting rumors coming out. I don't know if you saw this one. Playing the role of Jake the Snake Roberts, Vince Vaughn.
No way, dude.
Yes way, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
For the HBO thing?
No. For the Rock Page biopic, not for the Andre the Giant thing.
Oh, see, I didn't know.
No.
I didn't know Rock was reshooting stuff.
Yeah, like they're doing it as a like, you know, like a movie for like the
oh,
Page bio.
Oh, it's a movie
thing.
Movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a documentary.
No.
Oh.
It's a movie.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah. They got the gal who played Cersei in fucking Game of Thrones mm-hmm. playing like, you know, Paige's mom.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's Paige? Is it Paige?
No. Which is weird. Yeah, I feel weird that Paige isn't playing Paige.
Yeah.
Someone else. I can't remember who it was.
Wow. Well, that's kind of interesting because I know
yeah.
her. You know, that's a story to tell. I wonder what made Rock want to jump on that, though.
Well, you got to think about it, too. Like, The Rock does come from a wrestling family as well.
Oh, yeah.
So
there
I
you
think.
Go. Sort of a connection there, maybe wanting to highlight it a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, having it from, like, a woman's perspective
yeah.
instead of a man's perspective might be a little bit better to tell a good story.
Yeah. Because,
like, think about this. Like, you know. What's so you get so much testosterone maybe doing from a male side, but from a female side you can really make the comedy aspect of it really kind of shoot
right,
through.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does Paige still work for WWE?
From what I know, yeah.
Really?
Like she's recovering from surgery and stuff like that. I think
oh.
the movie's actually getting greenlit by the WWE. So,
oh.
Yeah.
The WWE films?
I don't know if it'd be a WWE film.
WWE home video?
It's not gonna be Marine 5. I can tell you that much. You know?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Marine 5. I want to know what happens. I don't even know.
I don't even know.
Is that how many Marines are on now?
I think so, yeah.
I think Orton was one. Miz was one or two.
Yeah,
Cena was
like
one.
Cena was the first Marine.
According
you know?
To CM Punk, he was going to be the Marine once, I think.
Oh, man.
I don't know if that's
that would have been a weird Marine.
He's like, hey, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink or do drugs, but what I do is do Marine stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Basically. It would have been interesting where that one would have been, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? Lots of wrestling stuff just overall,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, there's just always something weird going on with wrestling, you know? Like, we got Lucha Underground coming out on Netflix here sometime shortly.
Sometime.
Yeah, between, like, now and May.
Yeah.
You know?
Between now and the end of time.
Yeah.
It'll be coming out.
Are you saying time's going to end here soon?
You watch news at all lately? It just might.
Ah, shit, man. I thought we were going to go the whole podcast without talking about that.
We don't have to talk about that.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're referring to.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm referring to the double turn, you know, in the White House.
Oh.
Yeah.
Definitely a double turn.
I guess we should have saw it coming.
Should have.
Make Russia great again, right?
Should have, yep.
Yep.
Should have seen it.
Should have saw it coming.
I wish we had sound effects. Press, like, a button and... You know, sound effects.
Hey, man, Riley puts together this show. You know, maybe you can, like, get something in the budget where we can get some sound effects.
That's too much work for him.
All right, come on, man. Like, what if we had our own...
He's got posters to make.
That's right. You can find out all about it. If you have any promotion posters that you need to make, hit up Pyramid Posters on the Facebooks.
You know what? And if you just want more Grapple Talk info, hit us up.
Mm-hmm.
At the Grapple Talk on both Facebook and on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We post up there all the time. There's been a couple of postings lately. I think you shared one from the Black Adam Schefter.
Yeah, man. talk about Austin. Like, basically what it was, it was a photograph. Stunner. Yeah, a photograph of Trump with the McMahon family, and it was Stone Cold Steve Austin has given 46% these people in this picture a stunner at some point. And there was actually kind of a follow-up article that someone's like, you know what, the math actually sticks.
It does, really.
It does, yeah.
Wow, yeah, somebody went and did their dirty work. But you can go there, find more information about wrestling. It's where we post podcast updates, show updates, fun updates, well, wingdings and binglers as well.
Yeah, sometimes like date updates, you know, like I might have like a lady or something like that. You
don't post it on there.
No, I don't.
You should.
But like, you know, you're practically married. Alex is married to wrestling, and I'm just, you know.
You're just floating along.
I'm just floating along, man.
Yeah.
Most eligible bachelor on Grapple Talk, and that's not
Tinder's
saying
not
much.
Working for you too much?
Tinder's actually working, man.
Is it really?
Yeah. So, like, man, for some apparent reason, so after I got done with the EPW show, we probably lost all of our listeners at this point in time. I drop off equipment, and all of a sudden, like, some gal I had matched up with back in, like September is like, hey, we should hang out.
I'm no
like,
way.
Yeah. So, like, we hung out for, like, 5 hours that night.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
I got home about like 5:30. I'm like, oh, shit.
Holy balls, dude. 5:30 a.m.?
Yeah, a.m.
Wow.
I'm like, wow.
That's a good night.
Yeah, it was fun. Like, really fun gal.
Well, that was last week, too. So, I mean, this is still fresh.
So, like, we'll see where it goes, man. Like, it's a little different, but, you know, we'll see where it kind of goes. So.
What's it different? Is she like a deer?
No,
an
she's
animal?
Not a deer or an animal. Like
she made up?
No, not at all, not at all. Like, just different, because, like, I don't know, like...
7 feet tall?
No, lifestyles, man. Like,
powerlifter?
No. She's not a powerlifter. I mean, if she's a powerlifter, I'm not too really sure where the power is going, you know? Like, yeah, exactly. So, we'll see where it kind of goes, you know? It's kind of really kind of nice.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, like, probably out of my league.
Nice.
Yeah. So, like, we'll see where it kind of goes. You know, more than likely in, like, 2 weeks, I'd be like, God, she ghosted me. She ghosted me.
Hey, do you want to go to this art museum or
something? Yeah,
some
no shit, you know? And you'd be like, nothing. Just absolutely nothing. But, yeah.
You never know, dude. 5 hours on a random night is weird.
Yeah,
that's
no
a long
shit.
Time.
Yeah.
First contact since September?
Like, we talked, like, randomly here and there. But, like, the first time we probably actually, like, hung out. Just us. Just talked.
Good
for
word.
5 hours. Yeah.
Why not? That's fun, though.
It was funny. I'm going to embarrass her. So, anyhow, she...
she listens.
Yeah, probably. So, she's like, oh, so what were you doing tonight? I'm like, well, you know, I was working a wrestling show. She's like wrestling? Like pro wrestling? I'm like, yeah, you know, like, you know, I was doing camera work and stuff like that. She's like, oh, man, that's all that fake stuff, right? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, oh, man, I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, why? Why are you embarrassed? She's like, one of my first crushes was a pro wrestler. I'm like, shut the fuck door. You know, who's your first crush? And she's like, Buff the Stuff Bagwell.
No!
Yeah. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
You need to ghost her, man.
Yeah. But anyhow, I'm like, you know, man, he was so weird. You know, he did the strut thing. So I got up and did the old buff strut. She literally lost her shit.
Did she really?
Like, lost her shit.
Nice.
Yeah. I have no clue where her shit went.
Buff Bagwell, of all wrestlers.
Buff
freaking Bagwell.
Buff fucking Bagwell.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
I know, man. It's weird.
Why Buff? Why Buff Bagwell?
Because he's the fucking stuff.
Does she know anything about wrestling nowadays? Probably not.
No, probably not. No. So it's probably a good thing, you know?
Yeah. You know, I always hear, like, oh, I think, like, The Rock's hot or, like, you know, The Game was hot.
Yeah, you know, like a lot of chicks are kind of wet about that Roman Reigns fellow.
Roman Reigns, he's a handsome fellow.
Yeah.
Who knows, though? Maybe in 10 years he could also be a gigolo. Isn't that what Buff Bagwell was?
I think he was kind of doing that, but he also did in Canadian Destroyer on the indie scene for no apparent reason. Yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
He killed somebody?
No, they lived.
Okay, that's good.
So, yeah. But no, it was a very embarrassing wrestling story, and I thought I would share it here.
Thanks,
I
appreciate that.
I know you probably liked it, you know, so.
I like that. That was good stuff.
Yeah.
I literally would not have guessed that would have been somebody's crush in a million years.
Yeah, same here. I mean, that's so fucked. That's so random.
His gimmick, though, wasn't it, kind of?
His gimmick was he thought he was super hot.
I mean, so.
So apparently some...
Rubbed off on some people, however you want to say it.
He probably did rub off on some people, you know? Yeah.
That's gracious.
Go figure, man. Like the guy who couldn't cut it in WWE.
Well, maybe you do have a chance then.
God, man.
I mean, you can't be as bad as Buff Bagwell, right?
Probably could. Probably could be, you know? I'm... Yeah.
Well, good luck to you, because that's exciting, at least.
Yeah, no, I got something to live for.
Yeah, now you have something to keep day by day until you get
day by day,
again.
Man, until, like, all of a sudden, like, yeah, who knows? Are you going to don't pour water on your phone?
I'm not.
It's
a,
yeah.
Now we're just talking to talk.
We yeah, we just got to wrap this up.
Yeah,
so,
Tracy Riley's sick of listening to this, because he's going to have to edit it, so.
He doesn't edit the show.
He just goes, he looks at audio lines.
Yep.
If they're hot, he goes, okay, they must be talking there, clip. Must be talking their clip. Must be talking their clip. Done.
Basically.
Yeah. Because he used to put in the bleeps when we cussed, because we were a family-friendly show, and he stopped doing that.
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
Just, I think we started cussing too much.
Yeah.
And then it was like every day it'd be like, hey, man, you missed like three cuss words, and it's just like it got to the point where it's like, oh.
And then he would actually cuss at us.
Yeah. We'll just be a rated R show, a rated X show, because sometimes there's some very inappropriate things that happen on this
show.
Yeah,
but, you know, I think it's very appropriate for the people that we know.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah, this probably isn't rated X enough.
No.
For some of the people we know.
All right, cool, man.
I wonder what a Steve Stardom podcast would be like.
Rainer! Let me tell you about all the women I banged from here to Osseo.
Steve Stardom sounds Wisconsin. A lot like a pissed off Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No, he's not, though, because Austin's a little bit better. Like
at what?
Just sounding like a genuine human being.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure Steve Stardom is an alien, so.
Yeah, probably. He's got enough alien. He's got enough foreign DNA in him.
Oh, God. All right, well, that probably does enough for this week on Grapple Talk. We will probably catch you next week or the next week, because who knows when we tape nowadays.
Yeah, you know, it's whenever the discretion is or whatever happens. Something big happens in wrestling. We usually do the show.
Yeah. So, there you go. So stay classy, and have a great rest of your third week of February.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
I would say the traditional one.
something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.